Welcome to this sermon podcast from Myo Baptist Church, and thank you for listening to today's message. We pray that God's Word will be an encouragement to you and a reminder that the Bible has all the answers to living a successful and fulfilled life. Again, thanks for listening. We now join the service in progress.
I was reading online some news site about the fact that Americans seem to be suffering more from anxiety now than maybe ever before. There's a lot of crazy stuff going on, not only with politics. The economy seems to be going better, and we've prayed for years that it would. But so many other issues, personal issues. I heard the other day that I think the number was 170 people a day die in opioid-related deaths. 170 a day. Well, that affects not only those individuals, sadly, but their families and friends. Divorce, addictions. There's a lot of heavy stuff going on. I don't think anyone can doubt that we're living in the last days, and we're told in Scripture that, you know, that would occur. The good news is that God loves you. And God puts me in this pulpit every Sunday, every Wednesday to go to bat for you. Be encouraged by that. Now, that doesn't mean that you're always going to understand everything that comes forth from the pulpit. Doesn't mean that you're going to always agree. You know, but do understand that the Lord has me up here to go to bat for you. And as your pastor, I love you. And I love it when you rejoice, and I hurt with you when you hurt more than you know. And I realize that in a congregation like this, there are a lot of people that are going through personal issues you're struggling with, family issues, marital, children, sometimes financial, sometimes addictions. And I said all that because I think this series can do a lot to help alleviate a lot of the issues that you might be dealing with. And the good news about God and His loving you is that you can turn to Him for answers. You can turn to Him for help. Now, our topic, Who Am I? The Search for Identity, this isn't going to deal with every one of your issues, every one of your problems. This isn't the cure-all for every problem you have. But I think it is foundational that when you get this right and when you understand this, it will help you deal with all those other issues as well. My goal, my desire, as the Lord has laid on my heart, is that you find peace in your heart. And peace even in the midst of the storm. So let's look at this morning. Remember, the Lord has me up here going to bat for you this morning. And more than anything in the world, when you leave, I hope you'll go out better than when you came in. Not because of me, but because of God's Word and the power of God's Word. So let's look at God's Word first. One verse we're going to focus on, we're going to mention it, then we're going to talk, then we're going to come back to it in a big time way. But here's the verse, and this is profound. Those of you that are believers in this room, this is profound. It says, I am crucified with Christ. Now, this is being spoken of by the writer of Galatians, but this would apply to all believers. We are all crucified with Christ. Think about what that means. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. This is profound. But Christ liveth in me. You believers out here this morning, do you understand the significance of that? I mean, that isn't pie in the sky stuff. Christ liveth in you. He used to not before you were saved, but he does now. And if you ponder that for a second, that's an amazing statement. And he goes on to say, in the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Nobody loves me. Nobody understands, the devil may whisper in your ear when you're going through trials. Well, understand the significance of that statement right now. You are loved. Loved so much that he gave his life for you. Instead of focusing on our problems and our dilemmas, we need to consider Christ and what he says right here. Now, we're talking about our identity. And maybe you haven't thought about that. And maybe you might be here thinking, that's just psychobabble. That doesn't have anything to do with me. No, truth of the matter is, every one of us in this room has an identity. And your identity simply answers, this is how you would answer the question, who am I? And every one of you would answer it. Now, somebody might say, it doesn't matter who I am. That's a dumb question. Well, that's your identity. That tells me a lot about you. But a lot of people in this room will answer it. You know, as many people are in this room, we would probably get that many answers. I stated last week, and I repeat this morning, the pursuit of this particular topic came by inspiration from Pastor Kerry Schmidt, who pastors the Emmanuel Baptist Church in Newington, Connecticut, and is doing, from what I understand, a bang-up job there. That was a church, as I understand, was on its deathbed, and it is flourishing today. And I listened to some messages that he preached on this topic, and it inspired me not to copy his messages, because I'm not doing that, but to pursue this particular topic. And I'll use some of his material, but most of the material is original, from God's Word. But nonetheless, I will attribute this to him. He said this, and it rang true with me. He says, there are three basic ways you will think about yourself, and the way people think about themselves, your kids think about themselves, your neighbors. One of the identities we can have is, he referred to as a traditional identity. The culture around you tells you the kind of person you should be. I mean, so many kids today want to be like the movie stars, want to be like the sports stars, want to dress like them. They're getting their identity from the culture. They want so badly this day and age to have fame. And so many, not just kids, but a lot of adults are letting the culture dictate to them. You know, I'm talking about primarily lost people now. Because they're certainly not thinking about God. Okay? We Christians, we got to, now remember now, I'm talking about lost people. Okay? God is out of the equation with them. So who is influencing them? I mean, you know they're getting their identity. I mean, dress standards, fashions will change, and people like lemmings, you know, following each other off the cliff. People just go along with it. They're getting their cues from culture. They're getting their identity. Now, the problem with that is it can put you in an uncomfortable box of unreasonable expectations. And then it requires you to seek validity from the culture. You want the culture to acknowledge you. And lack of that cultural validation. You know, kids, I just don't fit in. I'm trying to fit in. What? They're trying to get, they're struggling with their identity. And if they don't fit in, if they're not validated by their friends, by their peers, it creates for them great anxiety and possibly even anger issues. That might be what some of these crazy, you know, people, the shootings and whatever, they're angry at the world. They want to be validated. So one option that lost people particularly, and sadly Christians can be influenced by this to a degree, but one option is you look to the culture. And whatever's popular out there, I want to be popular, I want to be accepted. And the culture sets your idea. But again, it requires validation, and it can be very frustrating and certainly never satisfying. But then there is and this is where we are today, and I think he's right on this, modern identity. You self-identify. The younger generation rejects, you know, pretty much culture. I want to be who I want to be. And the liberals tell them, you can be anybody you want to be. You be who you want to be. Don't let anybody tell you how you ought to be. And the problem with that is you may self-identify with unreasonable expectations. And again, it still requires validation from others. This explains some of the problems that we have with family and children. They self-identify, this is who I am. And you know that to be against God's will. And when you don't validate their choices, then they're going to be angry with you. And that explains a lot of issues right there. And lack of validation from others can cause anxiety or anger. And we're really raising an angry generation. I mean, not just teenagers, but a lot of people, the road rage and whatever. I can do what I want to do and nobody's going to get in my way. And if you get in my way, I'm going to get in my car. I'm going to come pummel you or something worse. And again, you say the issue with these people is sin. Yes, I'm not putting down the importance of sin. It's a sin. But why are they sinning? It's because it's the way they see things. It starts with how they see things. And they're seeing that I need to be as culture molds me to be, or I need to be as I want to be. And when you start down that road, you're starting down a road of sin. But there's a third way that we can identify ourselves. And this is the only way that works. It's a gospel identity. The people that you know that have peace, real peace, not a fake peace, but a real peace. Their identity is conferred upon them through their faith in Jesus Christ. He confers your identity on you. Your identity is conferred upon you by a loving and gracious God. And think about that. That's a whole different way of looking at life than all our unsaved family, friends, co-workers that are trying to impress people and what have you. When your identity is in Christ, when you come to Christ as your Savior, He takes over. He is in control. You hand the steering wheel over to Him. Now, all these other people, they don't want to do that, but they're paying. How's that working for them? But the person that does do that, listen, you're no longer under pressure to impress anyone. And what others expect of you, what the culture expects of you, what's in fashion, what's not in fashion, doesn't bother you. Because that's not your identity. Your identity is in Christ. And comfort and peace come in the reality of your relationship with Christ. I like this quote. Knowing who you are in Christ keeps you from letting others define you. Have you ever thought about that? Knowing who you are in Christ keeps you from letting others define you. And so many people are unhappy today. So many people are struggling today trying to find who they are. Trying to find their identity. Thinking it's in popularity. Thinking it's in alcohol. Thinking whatever. Understand this morning. Here's the basis of what we're talking about. Struggling with your identity can lead to a life of unnecessary stress and frustration. Whereas finding your identity in Christ, accepting Him as your Savior, and submitting your life to Him, then you will know peace and contentment. Let me give you real quick some indications that you might be suffering in this area, which would explain a lot of your insecurities and your struggles. Some thoughts about some identification, indications you're struggling with an identity crisis. Number one, you change with your environment. You're one way at church and you get to work tomorrow and you're another way. At the root of what you're dealing with is who you are. You're trying to be one person around one group of people, and you're trying to be another person around another group of people. A second indication is relationships mold you. You determine to like what others like or not like what others don't like. Relationships mold you. Number three, you often have radical shifts in your opinion. You change your core beliefs. One week you believe this about this, and the next week because you're trying to win favor. Number four, you don't like being asked about yourself. Because you're not real sure who you are. And again, to those of you that have found peace in Christ, try to think about lost people now, okay? This is where they are. This is one of the reasons that they have the anxiety and the frustration and sometimes anger that they have. Number five, you're very restless and afraid to settle down. You fear you might commit to the wrong things. Number six, your relationships don't run deep. If people get to know you, they may find out that there isn't much to you and you're so insecure. You just struggle with relationships. And number seven, you don't trust yourself because you're unsure about who you are. All of those things could be indications that you're having issues there. But in the day and age in which we live, it is a fact, an indisputable fact, that what's popular today is the modern way to identify yourself. Self-identity. But that'll never work. And that's so evident. Go out the doors into the laboratory of life and look at the people who don't have time for God, don't believe in God, dismiss God, and watch as they try to self-identify through this lifestyle or this perverted lifestyle, and then look for people to validate them, and if they don't, they're angry. Let me give you some reasons a modern identity will not work, because I want to get to the scripture. A modern identity places feelings over facts, so it's irrational. People put feelings over facts. A lot of people that have problems with their with gender dysphoria, this is describing them right now. Well, I feel like I'm a woman. I feel like I'm a man. You're putting feelings over the fact that God made you biologically this or that. So modern identity places feelings over facts, so it's irrational. A modern identity leaves my soul exceedingly needy because it just doesn't satisfy. You think you're this and then, no, the world's changed. Oh, no, I need to be this and this is what's popular. It just doesn't work. Number three, a modern identity is unbearably impossible. Because you have to stand out. These kids, these young people, they're wanting to stand out. They want to be exceptional. They want to be a star. I mean, life is judged by the number of likes they have on their Facebook page. This would explain the obsession that's so in the younger generation that they have with fame. They're trying to find out who they are, and they want approval of others. Number four, a modern identity is destructive to family. People will opt in a family for unacceptable identities. And people will compete with their identities. Number five, an identity is built on comparison to others. People that struggle with their identity tend to demonize others or to punish others because you have to stand out. You have to be right. And number six, it requires conscious self-deception, trying to be someone you're not. Now let's look at, though, that, put that aside now. Let's look at what the Bible says. Because we've got to get who we are right. And the only way to understand who you are and have a right perception of who you are and where you fit in. You see, the whole Bible narrative is a story, folks. It's a story of God's creation. And then man's falling into sin. And Jesus' love for man, God's love for man, Jesus' love for man, and Jesus coming to die on the cross because he doesn't want to see the pinnacle of his creation suffer the necessary punishment, the just punishment of hell. So Jesus comes to pay that price. And the story is unfolding in your life. And it's yet to be understood how your story is going to play out. Is it going to play out in victory in Jesus? Or is it going to play out your story with just a horrible defeat and eternity in hell? You're part of an ongoing story, and it's critical that you get this understanding of your relationship with God right. The question is, who am I? And it's answered for you in Scripture. Galatians 2:20. I am, here it is, folks. You want to know who you are? You want to know what it's all about? You want to have your feet firmly planted on the ground? You want to eliminate all the drama and the expectations of others? I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Sadly, all of our unsaved family and friends don't even think about that. Do you understand? They don't believe that. They don't want that. And thus their struggle. But you that are here, born again, that have trusted Christ as your Savior, you might be tempted to let culture define you. You might be tempted to think, well, all I ever hear is it's your life, you go for it, and whatever. No, come back to the fact that you are crucified with Christ. Let's look at what that means. Let's answer the question. 3 points. Number one, who are you? Number one, according to Scripture. And this is the final answer. This is the answer. You're crucified with Christ. Your old frustrating attempts at self-identity are gone. It says in the first words of verse number 20, I am crucified with Christ. What does that mean? To be crucified with Christ means the old you, when you got saved, was declared dead. Your old attempts or confusion about your old identity and the frustration that went with it are gone. You no longer have to find yourself. You no longer have to define yourself. You're no longer dependent on others to validate your self-identity. You may have at one time, it may have been the most important thing in your life to be popular. It may have been at one time in your life the most important thing to be identified as someone who was smart and successful, and you were constantly under pressure to live up to your who you were self-identified as, and therefore that would lead to so many frustrations. You were frustrated when people didn't recognize you, or you felt like you couldn't achieve what you thought your self-identity should be. You looked for approval to make you feel good. When you got disapproval, you felt terrible. Not knowing what people thought about you would drive you insane. All of that came to an end. All of that struggle ended when, as Paul says, you died with Christ. That's what died. That old focus on me, that old focus on my agenda, on my will, I was crucified with Christ. You don't have to worry about that. That's not what's important. It's your new relationship with Christ. Listen to this quote. The Bible says that our real problem is that every one of us is building our identity on something besides Jesus. The people that struggle the most in your life and in your world, and you know who they are, and you're brokenhearted, they're the ones that are not focused on Christ. They are struggling with their identity, and that explains the sin. Because when we say, what's wrong with that person? Well, it's sin in their life. Yes, it's sin in their life. No question about that. But why is there sin in their life? Because they're not willing to die to Christ and let their old will, their old ways be washed away. So it says, I am crucified with Christ. And that you want to know who you are? Your proper identity is you're crucified with Christ. And all that old you is crucified with him. You know, that's water under the bridge, if you will. That's in the past. You forget it. You know, you're now white as snow. You've been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Number two, who are you? Well, according to this passage, you have Christ living in you, giving you a very accurate and satisfying identity in Christ. He says in that verse, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. That takes away so much pressure. That takes away the propensity to make so many wrong choices, chasing after something you shouldn't be chasing after. Christ living in you means there's a new you as declared and determined by him. You have a new identity in Christ. He is in charge. You now adopt his values, his virtues, his goals are now your goals. You're committed to his will. You're committed now to his way. The stress of trying to find yourself is over. Christ living in you means he has taken over completely. Quit trying to keep hold of the steering wheel. You're just going to be miserable. Christ living in you means he's taken over. You can rest confidently in his values. You can rest confidently in his will. You can rest confidently in his approval. The fact that you're worrying about how you're going to be perceived or what others are going to think of you in this lost world is eliminated. You realize that when you are criticized living in Christ, they're really criticizing him because you're just living out him. When people do compliment you, it doesn't go to your head because you know that he's the one deserving of the compliment. Life is so much simpler when he is in charge. It's so much safer. Remember the old commercial, the old Greyhound commercial? Go Greyhound and leave the driving to us. Well, go gospel and leave the driving to God. Just trust him. Quit fighting. Quit being overemphasized on yourself and start focusing on Him. Listen to this quote. Jesus came to announce to us that an identity based on success, popularity, and power is a false identity. Let me tell you, so many people you know are driven by those three things right there. That controls their life. Not Christ. It's the desire for success, popularity, or power. And the problem with that is a false identity, an illusion. Loudly and clearly, he says, you are not what the world makes you or what you make of yourself, but you are children of God. You see how freeing that can be? You see how wonderfully comforting and encouraging that can be? And lastly, number three, who are you? You have peace and joy in your new identity because you have faith in Christ who loved you enough to die for you. Starts off, number one, I am crucified with Christ. Number two, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And then at the end of that verse, look at what it says about him. Who loved me and gave himself for me. Your identity in Christ is based on his love and his sacrifice for you. So when you think nobody cares, when you think nobody understands, when you think that you are a nobody and your emphasis on you being somebody, you can find peace in knowing that, yes, Christ loved you and he gave himself for you. Your identity with Christ is based on his love for you. And think about this. Think about this. There is nothing you can do in this life that will give you a better sense of worth than to realize the love of Christ for you. Can anything supersede that? Can any accomplishment, any praise, any identity given you from others, can anything supersede the fact that God loves you? Nothing can supersede that. And if it does, if you think it does, that would explain your frustration. That would explain your unhappiness. Your identity with Christ is based on his love for you. Your identity with Christ, as it says in this verse, is based on his sacrifice for you. He gave himself for you. There's nothing more freeing for an individual than to realize you are free from guilt and shame because Christ died for you. Those two things right there, to understand God's love for you and to understand that he died for you. What are you trying to strive for that is more significant than the realization of those two things? There is nothing that can satisfy the people in this room who understand this. And it doesn't mean that you're not wanting to be your best. It doesn't mean that you're not, that you don't have goals, you don't have ambitions, but They're God's goals for you. It's God's will that you're seeking after because you can't achieve any more than what's already been done for you in the love and the sacrifice of Christ. The fact that he gave himself for you gives more credibility to you as a person than anything you could possibly do. Some of you are living very frustrated lives, trying to impress people, trying to be something you're not. And again, not to say that we shouldn't try to improve ourselves and do better. But for us, it's within the context of our relationship with Christ and his guidance and his direction in those areas. You can rest in your value and worth and the fact that the Lord loves you and he died for you. Listen to this quote. To the degree that we embrace the truth that our identity is not rooted in our success, power, or popularity, but in God's infinite love, to that degree, we can let go of our need to impress. We're just concerned with one thing, our relationship with God and our obedience to him. And he helps with that, helps us with that. He gives us guidance with that. Again, folks, when you start thinking about this, it explains a lot. Some of you that may have wayward children, you say the problem is sin in their lives. Well, that's a given. But I'm raising the issue, why? Chances are it's this identity issue. They think reality is in their imagination. They think that reality is in how they feel. And that would explain, to a great degree, their unhappiness, their constant searching. That would explain their anger when others don't validate their carnal, worldly, and oftentimes selfish desires. I like this quote, "We are not what we do. We are not what we have. We are not what others think of us. Coming home is claiming the truth. I am the beloved child of the Creator." We are not what we do. We are not what we have. And in our materialistic, prosperous world, that tends to be how we judge people. We size people up by how they dress and the car they drive, the house they live in. But a lot of those people are frustrated because they find that somebody else has a bigger, nicer car. I've told you the story real quick. Down in Baton Rouge at the school I worked at, we had a guy on staff, and his dad was a heart surgeon in Mobile, Alabama. And very successful practice down there, and he owned a big catamaran. I mean, a big catamaran, okay? 15 people, galley, sleeping quarters, you know, all that kind of stuff. And he asked us one day, some of us guys on staff, he said, and we were only 2 hours from Mobile, 2.5, 3, I'm not sure. But anyway, he said, "You want to go over to Mobile Bay?" He said, "I talked to my dad, and he said, we can take the catamaran out in Mobile Bay and do some sailing." And I'm thinking, hey, cool, yeah, that'd be cool. And pride starts figuring in. We're going to Mobile Bay to get on the, you know, heart surgeon's catamaran and sail around. And we get on that boat, and it is impressive. And we start pulling out of the harbor there, and we're passing by smaller boats. And I wanted to lean over to make sure I was seen, you know, impressing them. Look, I'm on the big boat. You're on the little boat. Until a bigger boat came by, and they're looking down at me. It's never ending. In our carnality, in our flesh, to impress, to want to impress. I mean, that illustrates it in all of us all the time. You know, not trying to impress God. I'm not thinking about God. I'm thinking, look at me. I'm up on this catamaran, and you're not. Now, look up there. I say, you're on a bigger boat than me. And, you know, it's just unending frustration. The peace is, I'm a born-again child of God. Do I still strive to better myself? Sure. I'm not going to try to unimpress people. I'm not going to forget how to dress and be appropriate and what have you. But my overwhelming desire is not to please culture or to please myself, but to please the Lord. This last quote: "I would rather be what God chose to make me than the most perfect person that I can think of. For to have been thought about, born in God's thought, and then made by God is the dearest, grandest, and most precious thing ever. The only thing that will bring peace and satisfaction is that when somebody asks you, you know, you're having a serious, maybe philosophical conversation with somebody, and they say, let me ask you, who are you? It would be wonderful if you could smile and say, and without hesitation, I'm a sinner saved by grace, and I have been wonderfully adopted by Jesus Christ as his child. I'm not fretting. You know, do I not care what people think? No, we're not suggesting that. But my ultimate care is what he thinks. Always.
Thank you for listening to today's message. We hope that the service was a blessing to you and that you were encouraged by God's Word. If you have any questions about Myo Baptist Church, please contact us anytime. You can find contact information on our website at myobaptistchurch.com. Thanks for listening.